You know, Carl, we can stay with the question that you asked about the most significant event of World War II. But let's go modern for a second, and please, then we can backtrack if you'd like.
Work our way back.
Okay. I did not watch The Big Fight recently. I do remember as a child my father watching the Friday night fights.
Oh, yes.
And also wrestling,
yep,
on television. And, of course, my mother would never watch. She didn't approve or didn't like any of that stuff. Now, since that time so many years ago, the world has changed. Then we were in the peaceful Eisenhower years.
Correct.
Korea was just beginning. And you know the rest in terms of global violence.
Yes.
Throughout American history or global history. I wonder why we as a society like to watch two men beat the pulp at each other. And that, to me, it's just beyond me. Haven't we had enough violence in our lives? Do we need a public fight to keep us entertained? To me, it's like the gladiators of Roman times who fought usually to the death, an opponent all to entertain the Roman citizenry.
Well, this is a, oh gosh, this is an open question. I agree with you. I've never understood the... I remember when Floyd Patterson came to the Marcini Club in Greenwich Village many, many, many years ago. And, oh boy, that place was packed that night. Holy, jump in Toledo. This is a courtyard. There must have been 2,000 people on the roofs. It was they were all over the place. Because Floyd Patterson, the reigning world champion, had come to this. Okay. I managed to get him on the side with a group of us because I was always, even then I had, that microphone wasn't there, but the questions were. And he, after questioning and answering, he said, I would, if he had an opportunity, he would have been an artist, not a fighter. He would have been an artist, not a fighter. And I never did the follow-up with why or why not, what turned your head, but he would have been an artist, not a fighter.
Did he eventually move into the art avocation?
Only as a private investor, as a private buyer of art.
But not as an artist,
per se. Very much like Tony Bennett would have been a painter, not a singer.
Yeah.
And a magnificent, a glorious painter, by the way, glorious painter. He never did, but because it was too late, as he thought, in his life to do so. But he got involved in encouraging the arts all over the city of New York, quietly. Most people don't even know that he did it. I'm mentioning this story only because my family was very much affected by Rocky Marciano, the Bayonne Mauler. And a lovely guy, by the way. I met him once. My father's very much into that fight game. And I met him, a lovely guy, smaller than you would think. Didn't think he was that big. But he was a man of a profound thinking. He really was. He thought a lot. And he kept encouraging, because my brother Ralph at that time and I were playing the piano. My brother Ralph was playing the organ. He encouraged us. He said, don't use your hands. Don't play baseball. Don't touch those hands. And he kept doing it. He said, don't fight. Your hands are everything. Play the piano. Stay with that. Don't ever get into this end of the what I do, because what I do, I had to do, he said. You stay with your music and your education. This is Rocky Marciano. To your point, why they do it, I don't know. And then why does this country love it so much? Particularly
can
now.
Can you imagine paying pay-per-view
$100
to watch this?
Absolutely not.
I found that just ridiculous.
And all the money that was spent... look, this world is changing, and they have these cage fighting women now involved in this nonsense. It is the bane of the ignorant, in my opinion. And the ignorant sometimes have to have, I guess, an outlet. But I had this conversation, and I will not mention the name of the station manager who runs a big station here in New York City, a top station. When he dumbed down the news, doesn't matter, I won't mention his name. He literally dumbed down the news, okay, for this audience, the fight audience, okay, so they would understand what the newscasters were talking about. No higher than the fifth grade level, okay? And you know him as well as I do. And I got into a great disagreement with him. I was at a cocktail party about dumbing down the news so he can attach to that audience that will pay $100 for a fight.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by dumbing down the news.
Can't use
Are
words.
You talking about making a simple declarative sentence?
Yeah.
By saying, you know, two men are fighting each other. Look, said Jane.
Yeah, say Jane. Yeah. That's it. If you listen to the news, you'll understand why. The point is, there is an intelligence that we have to garnish in our people, a sense of proportion that makes the fights like this unnecessary. And by the way, in a fight game that's dying, and this may be the very last throw of it.
I would hope so. I just, you know, fisticuffs, pugilism,
yes,
all of those sort of things that began in the late 1800s. And,
yes,
you know, in those days it was, you know, Gentleman Jim Corbett and
all of them.
And John L. Sullivan.
Yes.
Totally different in the social understanding of entertainment in those days.
And I would hope after these, 150 years, we have grown up a little bit. We've come away from that, and that there is a sense of, you know, we talk about violence in the world. We talk about ISIL and ISIS and all of this. There is a stem upon which it grows from. Okay? There is a stem upon which it grows from, and that's where it grows from. We talked about earlier in the broadcast about the beauty of taking 10 minutes to smell the roses, mm-hmm, to step back. Well, if they took 10 minutes to step back, it may not be terribly exciting, but in the end, it would be for them a moment. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And they should all take one. And that gets me into another situation. See, I keep right on going here. You have me launched now.
Well, I could. You're easy to launch. and actually, so am I. So,
yes. Well, you
only because we're in the wisdom of our years.
I would hope so. I have something to read. Speaking of which.
Oh, do you?
Okay, yes.
Good. What's that?
I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel.
Okay. I agree with that.
Maya Angelou.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful? I have these little. I found them again. They came back to me. I thought they had gone away. One more. This is, by the way, where I got that comment about you, and we got hundreds of letters, by the way. We are shaped by our thoughts. We become what we think. When the mind is pure, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves.
Okay, I like that too.
Buddha.
Ah, the enlightened one.
One more. The true sign of intelligence is not knowledge, but imagination.
That's got to be Einstein?
Very good. Yes, sir, it is. Albert Einstein. Isn't that wonderful? You go right to the head of that class. Get that. There's an apple there at the top of the class, and I have one from Henry David Thoreau. One more.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yep.
If you have built castles in the air, your work need not be lost. That is where they should be forever. Now put the foundations under them.
Ah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Makes a great deal of sense.
Henry David Thoreau. Wonderful. I saved these to calm you down.
You know, Thoreau is an interesting fellow.
Yes, he was.
You know, I've walked around Walden Pond a number of different times because one of my sons lives in the Boston area.
Yes.
And occasionally, you know, you go visit. I've seen where the cabin was supposedly built.
Yes.
Not too far from Walden Pond. And it's an easy walk. I mean,
it
it's,
is.
And it's well done as a park.
I walked in. I did it in the winter, once in the winter.
Yeah.
Cold weather about 10 years ago. It was beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous.
But I think we talked about this once before, but Thoreau, even though he writes about spending time at Walden Pond, and people get the impression that he's way out in the wilderness and you know, has no contact with human beings, when in fact, from his cabin to where the original railroad went through, all he had to do was walk up a little knoll, step down a bit, get on the railroad tracks, walk a mile down, and it's where his mom and dad live. So, I mean, so it's not...
But remember, it's his imagination. He made you feel that he was with nature, you see.
Yeah.
And nature was all... Well, it really was. It's a beautiful park, but it's a gorgeous place.
Oh, it is. And I suppose at that time, it was far less populated than it is today.
Yes.
I mean, and obviously it's kept sacred.
In a pristine, pristine condition.
It's a wonderful place to visit.
I recommend
and
it.
And you do, in fact, feel at one with nature if you choose to let your mind go that way.
Yes, it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Well, we are one with nature in this broadcast. Did you know that? I know you did not know that we are one with nature in this broadcast.
Well, I've always been one with nature, but I always felt that you were a little suspect. So.
Very. Not a little. So, there's a couple of states that are still chasing me on that topic, and we shall not give out my name in those states at all under various aliases.
All you have to give us today is your name, rank, and serial number. That's it.
U.S. 5-1. I can go on with that. We never forget our given number in the military. Never, ever, never. It's amazing how that number sticks with you. You never forget it because it's drilled into you. And if you ever did give me 50, you never wanted to give him 50. Today, I couldn't give him 5.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we're moving on.
We are.
In this broadcast, we're continuing on. This is Carl Sabatino. And you are?
I'm not.
You're not? I'm nothing. But we are Smith Sabatino, and we're back.
America Weekend. Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This tennis star holds career records for most singles and doubles titles. She won an astounding 59 Grand Slams, including 9 Wimbledon singles championships.
Here's a sign of the old Martina.
30-50.
Glorious backhand volley on the last shot.
So where is Martina Navratilova now? Martina was treated for breast cancer in 2010. She recovered and attempted to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. However, her lungs had difficulty with the altitude, and she was briefly hospitalized. But Martina says the riskiest thing she's done since turning 50 was compete on the British TV show I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
I did it!
Well done, Martina. Yeah.
That was something. Actually, I bit my nose, and I started crying because it bit my nose. That's when I closed my eyes, and I have all these cockroaches crawling on me, and I don't even care.
Looks like nothing bugs Martina. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
It's fast, it's furious, it's totally bonkers, so buckle up because Furious 7 is a hell of a ride. I'm in!
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron, now playing in theaters.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Safety advice often is best taken from experienced bikers.
I probably will stay away from his riding too close on the right side of a street in a heavily populated area.
Solid advice today on American Biker Minute.
The Movie Man 6-second DVD review starts now.
A timely, important biopic and one of the best movies of the year. If you have a dream, march to see Selma. I'm in.
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron, now playing in theaters.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. 4-lane highway with 2 lanes running in each direction.
Where there's a lot of buildings and traffic and red lights, I like to ride the left lane. People will pull out a little bit too far, and if you're riding in that lane, you have to stay, you know, close to the center line when you're in the right lane. If you have 2 lanes, it's better to stay in the left lane. I probably will stay away from this riding too close on the right side of a street in a heavily populated area.
American Biker Minute.
Cars pull out. I'm trying to guard against that.
Your passport to the open road on 2 wheels.